If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
This is the Zabecast, from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go! Here we go! Tuesday, June 10, 2025. Thank you for joining me. A little dual podcast today, a few stories that caught my eye, and then I will present to you my back deck chat with my Uncle Tom from last week's trip out to Tahoe City. I know many of you skip right over the Cousins cast, and that's fine, but a decent number of you said that you really enjoyed it. Felt like you were sitting there in the Tahoe woods with us just talking about life. Anyhow, my uncle is crazy, and I say that in the best way. He's definitely living his best life at 82 years young, cheating death and refusing to grow up every step of the way. We'll get to him in just a minute. But first, a few things. Oh, well, look at that. Adam Silver and the NBA found their court logo stickers somewhere in the basement. You know, the ones that had the Larry O'Brien trophy or the NBA Finals and that's iconic, fancy, cursive script. Of course, they didn't really find the stickers, but they did put them on the court digitally after there was widespread criticism of the league over what the hell. And we talked about this with Andy yesterday. A number of you also said, I have just about had it with that old man, Andy. He can't get worked up or have a solid stance on anything. You were right, Zabe. You were saying it costs nothing. Just put the stickers on the court for God's sakes. Andy could not be bothered by that, but still, I like the fact that there was effectively a bullying campaign that worked against the NBA, that actually forced them into doing something. At least they felt like they had to do something. Safety. Safety my ass. Well, now they're fake digital logos, but that's about it. Oh, yes, my prediction also is correct. I should have bet it at mybookie.com, the official website for all your gambling needs right here on the Zabecast. Use promo code Zabe, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to unlock all the special offers that they have at mybookie.com. Should have bet it. OKC minus 11.5. Easy. Winner, winner. Chicken dinner. And now, unless Indiana shows something in game three and wins it, I think this series is going to be on the quick glide path to being as Billy Packer, may he rest in peace, once said, Ova. Also, in the sports world, there's good stuff, and then there is the best stuff. The best stuff includes little things like this. Carlos Alcaraz rallied in a 5 hour and 29 minute match. It was five something to defeat Jacob Sinner. Ironic name because he was suspended for a long time for a drug violation in five sets at Roland Garros. never giving up, never quitting. That was good enough unto itself. However, the fact that afterwards, Alcaraz shared a moment with all the boys who were ball boys on the court as they rallied around him and rah, rah, rah'd him. And then another moment with all the girls who were ball girls as they lined the staircase down from courtside to the locker rooms and media center underneath, these girls went absolutely nuts. The trophies being brought down behind them. I love it. The joy on these girls' faces and the accessibility of a superstar like Alcaraz to be right there, that they could touch him, high-five him, just be in his presence. That's the stuff of magic right there. That's what sports should be all about. What sports should not be all about is dickering over the tax code. Paul Bissonnette, spitting chiclets, also of NHL Faceoff. I like him, by the way. Also got into that nasty bar fight out in Phoenix over the winter with a bunch of hooligans, bunch of traveling Irish troublemakers. Luckily didn't get stomped to death outside the parking lot of a Houston's, but still, no worse for the wear. Paul Bissonnette confronted Gary Bettman as the commissioner came on the set of the NHL's flagship broadcast during the NHL Stanley Cup final, singular, and Bissonnette hit him with the, hey man, we got to do something about the fact that Florida has no state taxes, and these Canadian teams and the players who play for them in Canada are getting walloped by taxes.
Predictable. I don't want to take anything away from the teams from Florida and the state of Florida.
But do it anyway.
Ace put me in a headlock when I brought this up on the broadcast in the conference final. Any plans maybe in the future to implement a balance as far as the no state tax?
And no,
maybe,
you know, when you start...
I'm just asking.
It's a ridiculous issue. When the Florida teams weren't good, which was for about 17 years, okay, nobody said anything about it. And, you know, for those of you who played... Okay, were you sitting there with the tax table? No, you wanted to go to a good organization in a place where you wanted to live, where you wanted to raise your kids and send them to school. You wanted to play in a first-class arena with a first-class training facility with an owner, an organization, a GM, and a coach that you were comfortable with, and you wanted to have good teammates so you'd have a shot at winning. That's what motivates it. Could it be a little bit of a factor if everything else were equal? I suppose. But that's not it. And by the way, state taxes high in Los Angeles, high in New York.
Yeah.
What are we going to do? Subsidize those teams?
Can we take tax away from the province of Ontario at least, just for the Leafs' sake? We need something, Gary.
You know, I was watching you during the prior rounds. Your attire was a little suspect in terms of your journalistic objectivity.
Gary Bettman is a thin-skinned weasel. Gary Bettman is also not wrong. If you were to try to equalize things based on the tax codes of cities and states and provinces and different countries, there'd be no end to it. In addition, when these guys go on the road to play, they get taxed by the state where they played the game. I have read the Twitter account of this guy, Dominic Raiola. Dominic Raiola? No, that's an NFL player. Robert Raiola, CPA, that's who it is. Robert Raiola, CPA, certified professional accountant, has gone through just how complicated taxing or tax reporting is for professional athletes earning millions of dollars in all kinds of cities across North America, different states. Oh my God, it is. If you get triggered by being overwhelmed by details and am I doing it right? And the percentages and math. You definitely don't want to get into that. But no, there's no way we're going to equalize just because Florida has no state taxes. Bet with your head, not over it. This is a great tweet. Somebody took a picture of a billboard that said 20% of people with a gambling problem file for bankruptcy. I concur. Careful when you gamble. Be smart. If you think you got a problem, call a helpline. That said, the tweet was, every time I pass this billboard, I laugh. Because someone with a gambling problem is going to take an 80 to 20 odds all day long. LMAO. Yeah, only 20% of people with a gambling problem file for bankruptcy. Only the other 50% of the other 80%, they only just steal from their friends to help feed their gambling issue. Come on. No big deal. I like my odds there. 80% chance I don't file for bankruptcy. The Packers have released former Pro Bowl cornerback Jair Alexander. This was the inevitable end of the road for what seemingly was obvious for a long time. That once you say, well, his cap number's really high, we can't handle him at that number, he was hurt at the end of the year, we wanted him to play, and the doctor said you were good to go, and he said, nah, not really. And given that he's only 28 years old, he's kind of at odds with the organization. He didn't have to play, and he didn't have to take a pay cut. They wanted to give him a pay cut. They wanted to keep him around at a lesser one-year deal to say, okay, prove it to us on a lesser deal. He said, thanks, but no thanks. And so they had to cut him post-June 1, but right before their mandatory OTAs began, because they don't want him getting hurt doing the mandatory OTAs in case there was a chance at a trade. Look, I've never seen it before where something goes south between a player and the team and they patch it up and they find common ground. And I understand why I would say that. I don't know what percentage of workers in America willingly take a pay cut, especially not good workers. And look, Jair is a weird guy. And he may have pulled a bit of a selfish move by refusing to play down the stretch last year, but he's got to look out for his own career. Good employees, those who are competent, that work hard, I would bet you 90% of them don't take a pay cut, even if they're still being well compensated, because it just leaves such a taste in your mouth, right? If you think, I'm doing my job, I'm good at what I do, this company is lucky to have me, pay cut? No. Don't tell me times are tough. Don't tell me, well, you know, we weren't as successful as a company last quarter, last year, whatever. Hey, you said you're worth this much. I've backed it up with my production, whether it's in an office cubicle or at corner. Now, the argument would be, well, no, he didn't back it up because he was hurt too much and refused to play. And that's a fair thing, but the Packers still wanted him back at least a discount, and they couldn't get that done. Miking players up in baseball, I love it, sort of. But we got to rethink it a little bit when this happens. Jazz Chisholm, 2-0, Yankees lead Boston, Sunday Night Baseball, ESPN, mic'd up, talking to the crew when all of a sudden this happens.
I think we're looking at...
1 second. Damn it!
Spin throw.
Spin throw is right. Difficult play. Difficult.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah, it's all right. It's just a regular season. Just 1-162. It's not like it's game 7 of the ALCS. I think we got to at least pick our spots on these in-game interviews, or maybe pick outfielders only, or maybe interview Jazz Chisholm during between innings warm-ups. Oh, wait a minute. That would be during a commercial. And you know damn well, ain't nobody going to put up with that. Then there's this from Bowtie Daddy, the Chad Dad on Twitter. Got my first notice from the HOA today. Ah, yes, the dreaded Homeowners Association. Quote, multiple patches of thinning grass in front yard, unquote. Bro, it's fucking Texas in the summer, and we're on water restriction. I'm not going to fix it till the fall. The killdozer construction starts today. If you know, you know. Search up the killdozer story from Colorado. guy went mad because his businesses were being hounded by local zoning ordinances and zoning boards, and he was on the verge of bankruptcy. So he said, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to take a bulldozer, and I'm going to weld giant armor plates all over it. And then I'm going to roll it out of my garage. And then I'm going to go destroy the whole fucking town. And they won't be able to stop me. Oh, and they had a hard time to finally bring that thing to a halt. They couldn't shoot him in there because he had it so well armored. It was heavier than any police cars. It's a wild story. Who knows if that HOA thing is true, but still. Get a notice from your HOA. Yeah, you get some brown patches in the front. Man, it's Texas. It's summer. That shit ain't going to be right till the fall. Keep it moving. Coming up, my uncle Tom O'Neill, an 82-year-old adolescent who refuses to grow up. We talk about the biggest myth regarding where bears take a shit and why he loved going to Burning Man in his 70s. Also, plus how the ski industry has changed to be more profitable than ever for the resorts, but the experience, well, at times it's gone straight into the toilet. That's next. You are listening to the Zabecast. Watching any sport is a hell of a lot more exciting when you got a little something-something riding on the game. But what happens when the season is over? At my bookie, there is no off-season. NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, boxing, heck, table tennis, MMA, and more. If they got it, you can bet it. If the games are being played, the line is on the board at MyBookie. Just remember, where you bet, though, is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell all my friends to go to MyBookie.ag. Oh, but my state just approved it. There's a big whatever, or these guys are in the market. Nah, Johnny-come-latelys. You want to trust them? Trust the bookie I've been working with for years, MyBookie. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does it matter? Oh, I don't know. Maybe a million reasons. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. You name it. Plus, you get a bonus with me at MyBookie.ag. Use promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. That's promo code ZABE. And get your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. You bet, you win, and most importantly, you get paid with MyBookie.ag. I know exactly how it feels to look in the mirror and notice, hey, my hairline is playing defense right now and it's not winning. The forehead keeps on advancing. But who has time to deal with hours and hours of doctor's appointments to try to win the battle? That's where Hims comes in. They've changed the game. Hims provides convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments at work, all from the comfort of your couch. No need to take time off of work. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. The best part is the process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Just answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. And here's another win. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/zabe. That's hims.com/zabe for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/zabe. Prescription products require an online consultation with healthcare providers who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
You've heard the saying a million times, the best offense is a good defense. But these words of wisdom extend far beyond sports. In life, the best defense is making sure your life insurance policy is right for you. That's why I go to SelectQuote for the best coverage at the best price. Now that's what I call a power play. For over 40 years, SelectQuote has been one of the most trusted brokers in insurance, helping more than 2 million Americans secure over $700 billion in coverage. Their mission is simple, to find you the right insurance policy for your unique needs. They shop, you save. Get the right life insurance for you for less. And save more than 50% at selectquote.com/Zabe. Save more than 50% on term life insurance at selectquote.com/Zabe today to get started. That's selectquote.com/Zabe.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
That cafe you recommended was great, by the way.
Which one?
Bakery.
Oh, across the street. The Tahoe House.
Yes. Yeah. So they've been in business for 45 years.
Well, their dad owned it.
Really?
He was a Swiss guy, Swiss chef, and it was European Swiss restaurant.
Swiss chef.
And he has two daughters that, you know, grew up here. One of them went to school. They both went to school. One was with Nick. And, I mean, these girls are like 6'4". And he retired.
Okay.
And they took it over, and they said, nah, we ain't going with a restaurant. We're going with a bakery and a coffee shop.
Because why? It's easier?
Easier, and that's what they could do.
Easier hours, shorter, probably get done early in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Not deal with a nighttime crowd, all that stuff.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, running a restaurant, one, you're tied to the chef. You know, and if you own it, that's good. But if you don't, and the chef quits,
you're kind of out of luck. Well, see, that's the thing. You've owned how many restaurants now? Lifetime?
I don't know, 7 or 8.
7 or 8. I love it, man. This is my Crazy Uncle Tom podcast, an 84-year-old child of 10. Is that about right?
82.
82. Okay, sorry, I don't want to put any age on you. Coming off of a non-dislocated hip fracture on a speed bump in Durango, Colorado, right?
Right.
Coming off quadruple bypass how many years ago?
15 years ago.
Okay.
Five-way bypass.
Any other major, you know, runs at the Grim Reaper for you?
Oh, sure. It's kind of a hobby.
I love it, though. So I was telling people about the train set in the background, and I took some video of it. I'm going to show it here. But this thing is amazing. You started this train set when?
It started in earnest probably 10 years ago. I had a couple of trains that we had when my kids were small, and I still have my original Lionel trains that I got for Christmas in 1952.
From my grandfather.
From your grandfather.
Grandpa
to me,
Nick O'Neill.
And they still run.
The legend, yes.
And the ironic thing, and I have three sisters, two older, one younger.
Yeah.
So in 1952, this train set cost $64.
That's a lot of money.
And
how did Grandpa Nick afford it?
When I blew it up in today's prices,
yeah,
with inflation, et cetera, it's the equivalent of $420.
Yeah.
And, you know, my sisters all got like a $3 doll.
Your sisters, one of them being my mom, yeah, who is the oldest of the family. Right.
Yeah, but my dad, he was a New York fire chief. He had a darn good income.
Yeah, they did well, and then he dragged the family out to Arizona when you guys were in high school.
Well, he didn't think we'd get the education he wanted in New York, and he wanted us all to go to college. That was his mission.
Well, and he sent all of us grandkids to college too.
And Arizona was a good move for him.
Yeah, I remember going out there. So many great trips to Arizona. To the Bash's department store out there, and the playground that had the rocket with the slide in the top and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Remember it vividly. And he went out there when there was nothing out in Phoenix, basically.
Well, when we moved there in 1956, there was 7 high schools, and the population was 192,000. And Carl Hayden was still in the Senate, and he was the first senator Arizona elected when they became a state.
Wow. What year did they become a state?
1912, I think.
Holy shit. Yeah. So, yeah, and now the population of Phoenix Metro is over 3 million?
Three million.
Like market number 7, I think, in the country.
It's nuts. We get down there in the winter, and where we go, you know, you needed either a horse or a four-wheel drive, and, you know, go out there either for a desert keg party or to shoot rabbits.
That was high school entertainment for you.
That was it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I got three items with Uncle Tom today. I want to talk about bears, Burning Man, and the ski industry. Because, you know, I would come up here, Uncle Tom's restaurants and bars would be the jumping off point for me and my brother and all of us cousins to ski at Squaw Valley, now known as Palisades, because can't say Squaw anymore, site of the 1960 Olympics. And, you know, all these years coming up here, I haven't been back in a long time. This is my first time back in a long, long time. But the ski industry has changed so much. And you and I talked about this a lot yesterday out here. So I wanted to go through that. But as far as bears go, show the hold your phone up to the camera there.
All right. This is an example of one of the many bears that have visited us.
There it is right there.
And he's standing up to a bird feeder that at that point was in our yard.
Right.
And just for scale, I went out and took a picture of myself next to the same bird.
Holy crap. Yes, and that is...
And I'm 6'1", right. and this guy, he was at least 400-500 pounds.
Yeah.
And earlier that year, my wife woke me up. We have a two-story house, and kind of was on my case. She said, you let the refrigerator door open. And
how would she know that? You have an alarm on your
fridge?
There's
an alarm. It goes beep, 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 beep. And I says, no, I don't think I did, but I'll go check it. So I went down, came back up, said, no, I didn't leave the refrigerator door open. The bear did, and the kitchen is trash.
Oh, my God.
And the bear.
So you didn't hear the bear break in, but you heard the alarm.
He broke in, trashed the kitchen, left.
What did he find?
He knocked the front door off the hinges.
Oh, my God.
And the bigger bears know how to do that.
Right.
And he also dispelled a common myth.
Which is?
Bears shit in the woods. They don't. They come in your house and they shit in your kitchen.
With no regard for
what
they're doing.
And I could dig up a picture to prove it.
But so that's not the only bear incursion. You also had a bear that came in that, you know, you said that bears like to go out the same door.
They usually
exit the same place. In and out. So they don't get lost probably, you know.
Yeah. So this was well, usually it's the window or the door they broke down, too.
Well, that's right. It's the most convenient
exit. It's a bit of convenience.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we came home. We had been out to dinner and came in, walked in the kitchen. Kitchen's a mess. And bears are pretty peculiar about what they like.
Right.
But they're very good at opening refrigerators and cabinets and getting what they want and eating. And I said, well, I don't see any doors or windows open down here, so I don't know where the bear is. So I
stopped a minute. I don't know where the bear is. Let that phrase sink in for a second. It might be in here, but I don't know where it is.
And the bears here, they're black bears. They're not aggressive. They don't do you. But if you're standing between them and the door, you're going to be a doormat pretty quick, and they'll run over you, and you could get hurt.
Right.
And if you're between them and their cubs, the mama bears get a little upset. Anyway, we come in, I'm looking around, all of a sudden, we don't have a dog, but I know what a dog sounds like on the second floor, and all of a sudden we hear
heavy thumping, heavy scratching of claws.
Yeah, walking across the floor, and I said, okay, hey, go in your study there, and I'll go and see if I can get rid of the bear. And upstairs, sure, the bear's in our bedroom, which has a outside patio near a tree.
The bear is in our bedroom. Just let that soak in. Okay, continue.
So then the bear, I banged the door, and the bear took off and left.
Okay.
Downstairs, cleaned up the mess as usual. Again, he did disprove the myth, which is kind of a common trick.
Right.
And, you know, went to bed. About 2 a.m., my wife wakes me up. She says, hey, the bear's back.
Okay, another phrase.
And so
to let it soak in, the bear is back.
And the bear came in through a sliding glass door that goes to
a balcony.
Small outside patio.
And the pole to the balcony behind us is where he climbed up, and bears are great climbers.
Yeah.
Yeah. So no problem to climb up.
No.
Yeah.
And he's scratching on the door, and I went, okay, here you're going to get a little present. Out here, they sell it at Costco, and it's a canister. They call it bear spray, but it's basically pepper spray, but it'll have about a 10 or 15 foot reach. It won't hurt the bear, but it will upset them. And bears being smart animals, if they have a bad experience someplace, they don't go back.
They remember.
And somehow they spread the word. So I said, well, this bear is about to have a bad experience. So I cracked the door, gave him a good dose, gave a yelp, dove off 15-foot deck and into the woods. And I said, well, that's that for that bear.
Right.
And my wife had got up, she came over, and like the great white hunter, I opened the door to say, yeah, I got that guy. Unfortunately, the pepper spray whiffed back in. And so we got not a heavy dose, but we got enough of a dose to sting and make you close your eyes and yell. And my wife's going, oh, my eyes, they sting. What should I do? I said, oh, take your clothes off. She says, what? I said, well, all right.
Start by rubbing, if
you don't want to do that, you might want to go wash your eyes out.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we were talking.
She has a different sense of humor than I do. But the guys out there will appreciate it.
Yes, exactly. You know, hey, why not try?
Never miss an opportunity.
Right, exactly. Post bear incursion affairs are better than any, from what I've heard, you know. And they do shit in the kitchen. So we were talking about bears at breakfast after you told us the story. And myself and young Megan were, you know, just talking bears, and oh, they're so adorable, but they're really kind of weird, and they can stand on their hind legs, and they can run on all fours. So I started cataloging just how amazing they are as animals, because they can stand on 2 feet like humans, no problem. They can solve things, break into things. They don't want to be around humans, but they're not freaked out by humans.
No.
Okay. They have a super tough hide and skin that no real predator can get through. So they've got no enemies out on the landscape other than us.
The biggest enemy here is the automobile.
Right, cars.
And every year, almost an unacceptable number of them get killed by cars.
Really?
It's above 15 or 20.
Well, that's too bad.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
Because the car's going too fast or not paying attention or...
Bears usually are black or dark brown.
Oh, right.
And they're nocturnal for the most part.
Hard to see them.
And so they're crossing the road, and they're not very visible.
Yeah, but they can run on all fours very, very fast. They can climb like mother son of guns.
Unbelievable.
huge claws, huge paws, super strong, huge teeth. I mean, as a creature, Uncle Tom. There's nothing quite like a bear.
And their sense of smell is 10 times more acute than a bloodhound.
Really?
And they're one of the most intelligent animals in the woods.
Right. And luckily, there are only black bears here for the most part. The grizzlies
haven't been in California since the turn of the century.
Okay.
Yeah. And they don't generally stalk and hunt humans like the pumas do, which we have here.
You got pumas here?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
But if you come across one, they're pretty territorial, and they will definitely
get after you.
They're big, and they're mean, and they're vicious.
So now you've got a bear mat, which is a lightly electrified mat right in front of the door.
It's called 6,000 volts light.
Well, okay. It's an electrified mat that will not kill a human.
No, it's basically off cattle fence technology. So it's an instant jolt of 6,000 volts. And it looks like a doormat with 3-inch metal strips. As soon as you step on it, it really gets your attention. And if you step on any bare feet, it's like a mild bee sting.
Okay.
But it goes through your body, but it won't kill you.
So it's unpleasant.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no.
Right. But it won't kill you.
No.
Right. So you got that. You don't turn it on except at night.
Right. And even during the day,
if you step on the shoes,
it's fine.
Yeah.
But the only thing is, it's not a good thing to keep it on, because a lot of people have pets, and it really is mean to a dog.
Yeah. But bears part of the cost of living up here, and it's a small cost to pay because holy cow, is it beautiful. So you moved up here 54 years ago?
Yeah.
To start running restaurants at Squaw? No.
Kill time.
Why did you come up here?
Before I came up here, I was a Navy pilot.
Right.
And 5 years in the Navy flying P-3 Orions, ASW. And when I get out, I wanted to start a career with airlines. I was given a job by Northwest Airlines. A week before I was supposed to start their classes and training, they went on strike and said, we'll get back to you when we do. And in the 70s, there was a big fluctuation and transition in the airlines where they take a certain amount of pilots offline. So I was kind of in between. So none of the airlines were hiring at that phase. So I had got an opportunity to join the Navy Reserves in San Diego.
Oh.
And it was a good deal. I'd fly on weekends. I was making more than enough money to have a nice apartment near the beach. We were married. We didn't have any kids. And I would figure I could do that as long as I could, gaining flight time until the airlines opened up. Went into work one day and the skipper said, well, they decommissioned our squadron sold the planes to Guatemala.
Oh, no.
So we're going to Guatemala for 5 weeks to teach them to fly the P-2V. And then
That's it. Good luck, kid.
So that was that. But it was kind of a great experience in Guatemala. It's a whole nother interview. But in the meantime, I had gone to college in San Diego for 2 years, and I still had a lot of friends, and was in a local bar called the Beachcomber, talking to a friend of mine, and told him my squadron didn't know what to do. He said, and that we had been based in Maine and learned to ski, and he says, well, heck, my best friend from grade school has a restaurant up in Squaw Valley. And I says, really, could you get me a job? And he said, well, let's call him. So we called him. And he says, yeah, come on up. We'll give you a job. And so that was the catalyst to get us to Squaw Valley.
What was the restaurant?
It was the first concession at
Squaw Valley.
At Squaw Valley, at Gold Coast. And as it turned out, his best friend from grade school is now my brother-in-law, Mike Lynette.
How about that? My Uncle Mike, for my mom's sister Annie's husband.
Right.
Yes.
So anyway, we packed up whatever we had and
came on up.
Came on up with basically the intention of spending a winter here and skiing at Squaw Valley. And I was a busboy and Nancy was a cashier. And we had a little cabin for $170 a month and life was good. After the first year, there still weren't any real airline prospects. So we stayed the summer, got a job as a waiter in a restaurant in Truckee, and then went back to Squaw Valley. And then at that point, Mike and his partner Jim figured that I was smarter than the average ski bum, and I also showed up to work every
day. Right, you were responsible.
So they made me a manager. So now,
that's great.
Which, that was good, but it cut into my ski time. But, you got to move up the ladder.
So anyway, fast forwarding through that, you end up owning.
I wound up staying here after 3 years. Airline jobs started to open, but they were with Eastern Airlines on the East Coast, Braniff, Texas. And we really liked living here and the lifestyle here. I had a lot of friends that were with the airlines and they'd work for a year, get laid off and transferred. And it started to look less and less attractive. And so I made an indirect career decision to just stay here and figure out what to do.
Yeah, one bar, one restaurant after another. Next thing you know, you own the bar down at the Plaza, right?
Right.
That's called the Plaza Bar,
Plaza
right?
Plaza Bar,
and then you own Gold Coast, which was halfway up the mountain.
Yeah. Well, I never really owned them. I was a concession. To the Ski Corp. So we leased the places, but we did the improvements and. And I actually started it. Mike and his partner decided they didn't want to stay in Squaw Valley, and I did. So I had another partner that we started the company with, and Mike went on to a restaurant in Truckee, Obie's yeah. board, and his partner Jim went on. He was into cycling, and he had a kind of a high-end bike parts business and stuff.
Yeah.
Squad so, you out, know, it's yeah. luck and timing, and, you know, whether I was too lazy to do something else or seize the opportunity, that's up for debate.
Squaw Valley, now known as Palisades, not the largest of the ski resorts out west by far, but it's pretty big.
It's one of the biggest.
It's one of the biggest, not as big as... Is it as big as
Mammoth? I'd say
Snowmass, or not Snow. What's the one in Utah that's really big?
Well, it's bigger than most of the ones in Utah.
It is really. Okay.
Oh yeah, yeah. By right. acres and all that. But there's a lot of different ways to measure ski resorts:
right.
acreage,
right.
vertical feet, number of lifts,
lift
skiable
capacity,
terrain.
Else, yeah.
I mean, you could have 10,000 acres, but you know, 8,000 could be solid trees. So
right.
So that's it. So and the type of terrain, but Squaw is famous worldwide for its steep terrain and ease of access to absolute challenging terrain.
Yeah.
And that's why it's always drawn so many really good skiers and why it's produced so many Olympic athletes.
Yeah, how many Peekaboo Street was from here, right?
No.
Oh, she wasn't?
No, no.
Who am I thinking of?
Julia Mancuso was from here.
Okay.
Johnny Mosley was from here.
Oh, right.
And then there's a whole litany of people that have been on the Olympic team. Tamara McKinney was the first.
Tamara McKinney is another one.
She was the first one. She never won an Olympic medal, but she won the Women's World Cup overall championship, which is a much harder feat.
Sure, yeah.
Because you're racing a whole year on that.
Right.
And Travis Ganong, he just retired. He's from here, and God, and the list goes on and on.
Yeah. So when I would come up and ski with my brother or cousins or whoever, we're talking 80s into the early 90s when I was in college, it was great because you always had a drawer with a couple passes in it. You could hand them out like candy. Wasn't a big deal because you knew the guy that ran the lift operation and you helped feed him. That was the kind of business it was.
We had some trade going on.
Trade, exactly. So, right, which is the way it should be. Also, one time, I worked a gentleman's four-hour shift with my college roommate, John Peterson, at Gold Coast in order to get a pass to ski the rest of the day. And I got photos of that, and that was great. And John was like, this is so great. Your uncle's so cool for getting us this deal. And we had a blast up here. Now the ski industry has done something pretty amazing in that they've consolidated into two major players. Icon and Epic, is that the two names?
Yep.
And they have basically convinced skiers to buy a season-long subscription to skiing at all of their resorts for a pretty big number, like $1,500, I think it is.
It's not even that high. I
it's over 1,000,
check the prices though. Because Squaw Valley had two things going for the last thing was if you're a military veteran,
right,
you could buy a season pass for $100.
Well, okay, that's fine. I'm just saying the general public, though.
But the general public, initially it started, you could get a pass with no blackout days for maybe $600-$700,
right,
or a pass with certain blackout days for $450.
Right.
And then over the last probably 10 years, they've inched it up where now I think it's about $1,100, but when you consider a day ticket's $250, you know, and you have access to resorts all over the world,
right,
and in Europe and in the U.S., they do it. And what that does to the ski resorts, you know, and it's a business, and it puts the money in the bank before the snow is on the ground.
Exactly.
And that's a big deal.
And a lot of people will buy passes that they might use for one weekend with the intention of using it for more.
Right.
They never get around to it. Money's already in the pocket. So that's a genius thing. It saved a lot of resorts that were really on the edge, from what I understand.
I don't know the details of the inside, but probably the biggest shift was the major resorts around here, Heavenly Valley, which is a really big, you know, complicated resort, started by Bill Killebrew.
Heavenly's down South Tahoe.
Down
right?
South Tahoe. Alex Cushing started Squaw Valley. Nick Madami was totally influential in Alpine Meadows. And they were all people that were skiers and interested in skiing. And so they were sensitive, and Cushing was probably led the pack on keeping the quality of skiing and the number of people there
right.
controllable, so you enjoyed it. As it shifts into kind of the bare knuckles business world and the potential revenue and profit, then you got the cheap pass, and
you get some days that are so overcrowded, it's miserable. I've seen the lines on social media where a Lyft line, they say, was upwards of 3 hours, which I don't believe.
Yeah, it could be.
Hour and a half. That's still an excruciatingly long time to wait to go do an 8 minute run, if it's even that, right? But those are only certain days. So it's good if you're a skier that knows how to pick your spots and you avoid the money weekends. Like you said to me, if there's good snow Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, clears up, and then there's a long weekend after that, good luck.
Yeah.
Because get here early, get here overnight. Because you need a parking pass, you need to buy a parking pass, right? A reservation, and they sell out of those.
Right.
So you might have already paid for your Icon pass and have the right to go ski, but you can't get your car into Squaw Valley or Pinnacle Palisades to go ski because you missed out on getting your reservation.
And they're quote experts, say with all the number of passes, and I have no idea what the exact number is, that there will be certain days where the skier experience is greatly depreciated, which for those of you that aren't into flowery language, translated it means it's gonna suck.
In every regard.
Oh my God.
Parking, lines, the people wiping out on what you call the white strip of death when there's not enough snow on the bottom part of the mountain. They've got to snow make it and get it. Yeah.
So you're getting screwed and you're not getting kissed.
The other thing
that's the deal.
That's the deal. But that's what you buy into. And I'm sure there'll be more evolutions to the way it's set up right now. I'm sure there's pros and cons.
Well, when there's push here, there's something there.
Yeah.
15 years ago, if you went backcountry skiing and you saw two people, it was a busy day. Now, if you go backcountry skiing, meaning you have your own equipment and avalanche beacons and you climb up the hill with skins on your skis, you might see 100 people in the backcountry because it's become immensely populated. And also, mechanized backcountry skiing, meaning snowmobiles will tow you.
Really?
Back into the backcountry, or you'll ride in tandem and then take turns running each other up the slope. So, you know, there's always a different way to skin it.
Right.
But the demand has gone high. Ski equipment has gotten tremendously better, that it's more fun and easier to ski.
Oh, yeah. Parabolic skis are the real game changer.
It's really hard to be a ski bum because everything's expensive.
It's all corporate.
Housing's expensive.
Yeah.
But I still know some guys that they figured it out.
Figuring out a way to do it, right?
Yeah.
You mentioned 100 people in the backcountry on these extreme runs. I bet you of the 100 people there, 95 have GoPros on their helmets. Because there's a lot of people that love to film stuff.
They like to document it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. I'm not against that. But you turned me on to this guy, Warren Miller, who is this most famous ski filmmaker.
Yeah, he was a pioneer.
Yeah, he's passed. He was.
Right. But trivia about Warren Miller.
Yeah.
In 1949, he spent the winter here, and he was a ski instructor here the first year Squaw Valley opened.
Wow.
And he lived in the parking lot in this little trailer.
The ski instructor, Warren Miller.
And he had some really great pictures of early Squaw Valley when he was here and great stories.
Yeah, well, definitely look up Warren Miller on YouTube and check it out. Last topic. You went to Burning Man for 13 years in a row, is that right?
Yeah.
From age 67 to 80?
Yep.
What on earth? And you loved it, by the way. You would stay for 2 weeks most years, right?
Well, initially I was overwhelmed, you know, because you think you know what you're getting into, you don't. And Burning Man, back in when I started going, it was pretty much under the radar,
right?
Local phenomenon that
we're talking
you
about
knew.
2002-ish.
In 2008, I think.
2008.
Seven
okay.
or eight is the first
yeah.
time I went.
Right.
But, you know, it originated in San Francisco and then migrated to the Black Rock Desert. And so it was San Francisco-based, very little from the East Coast or any place else. And it basically started as an art community.
Right.
And it was a way for self-expression in the art. And also, initially, it was kind of partnership with a group in San Francisco in the 60s called the Cacophony Society.
Okay.
And their main purpose was absolute wild, crazy pranks. Whether
really?
Oh, yeah.
And a prank society.
A prank society. and that carried on to Burning Man, and that's still, you know, part of the culture of teasing people and playing jokes on them. But over the years, it evolved into more or less an experimental community.
Right.
Where the only thing you could buy out there is ice.
That's it.
Yeah, it's
wasn't like, for commercial purposes.
No.
You couldn't set up a tent to sell your tchotchkes or bracelets.
Nope.
You said that when you
Everything
first started-
it's a gifting society.
It's a gifting society. And also, you said when you first started, there were strict rules on photography. So to have a camera, you had to get a orange badge indicating you've been vetted and right. you know the rules. And it was no photos without permission, no publishing of photos without permission, and no monetization
right.
of the photos. Now, that was in 2008-ish. The iPhone came to prominence about that time, social media not long after that. And by 2014, it was pretty much, well,
2014-15,
right?
Yeah, the genie was out of the bottle. And Black Rock Desert is the largest piece of flat land in America. It's where they broke the land sound barrier.
Oh, that's where they would
that's
run all those
it, yeah.
specialized souped-up rocket
yeah, it's,
cars?
It's 28 miles, and I think the elevation drop is like 8 inches or something.
And it's just flat,
and it's
gray,
flat, and it's
dirt and dust.
It's not dirt and dust.
No?
It's alkaline. So it's the same thing that they make sheetrock out of.
Oh, wow.
So it's a very fine dust that in the winter it does get, you know, a fair amount of moisture from Pacific storms. And there's been winters where it becomes a super shallow lake.
Oh, wow.
And that tends to level it. And the playa then sets up very firm. But when you put 30, 40, 50,000 people with vehicles and bikes on it, it breaks it up. And you get this very fine playa dust. And any wind or any breeze can cause some whiteouts last 3 days.
3 days?
3 days.
Of whiteouts.
Whiteout.
Where you better have goggles yeah. on to be able to keep it out of your eyes.
And 2 years ago, they had absolute abnormal rain.
Uh-oh.
And it made the national news because
right.
when it rains on the playa, you cannot even walk on it. It becomes this unbelievable, slick, gooey stuff, and that's it. And
how did people get out?
They didn't.
For how long?
3 days, four
oh
days,
God.
Yeah. And the veteran burners, fine, they know what the deal is.
Sit tight.
You know, the mud sculptures and mud slides and sit down and enjoy the time. But a lot of people had reservations. You know, the burners call the world outside of Black Rock City the default world. So they had to get back to the default world.
Default world. That's so funny.
Catch a plane and everything else. So the national news, anything, made a big deal out of it. In reality, there was 70,000 people there. There was probably, my estimation, 1,000 or 2,000 type A people that didn't think this would ever happen.
Oh, right.
And didn't know what to do about it. Were very
right.
unprepared because one of the principles of Burning Man is radical self-reliance. Now, they'll help you on anything unless you're just being lazy.
Right.
And then they'll say, figure it out, dude, or go home.
Okay.
Anyway, it's probably the harshest place I've ever camped, and I do a lot of camping.
Wow.
and you got to be fully self-contained. And it's the largest gathering that has zero impact.
Right.
So bring it in, bring it out. And to tell you how serious it is, when they leave Black Rock City, and this is a city that has total infrastructure and city layout and
right.
different services, all done by volunteers, they have volunteers that stay for up to 5 weeks and shoulder to shoulder, just like they'll do on an aircraft carrier looking for foreign objects, go over the entire site and pick up everything they can, and even then more, including tent stakes, the slightest little bits of things. And then at the end of that, BLM, Friends of the Black Rock Desert, and I think another organization, they come in and they randomly go over this, 7 acres or 6 square miles, whatever the site is. And they randomly pick sites and they take a square grid screen and they screen the material. And they have a formula about how much non-native material can be there for it to be a pass.
And if it doesn't pass, they say what? We're not going to permit it for next year?
Exactly.
Wow. So I bet you guys,
and they always
clean
pass
up nicely after yourselves.
And the biggest thing is when you leave your camp, like when we leave our camp, you know, we have 70 people in our camp. We do what they do in our camp.
Right.
And also, they give you a pretty comprehensive list of what to do, how to survive, and things not to bring. So don't bring things like peanut shells, glitter, feathers.
Why?
Because they blow away and they call that. And out there they call litter moop. M-O-O, matter out of place. And so it's rare where you go to a community that big that they are incredibly sensitive to moop.
Yeah.
So you always have a little side pocket or, you know, a rucksack. And you pick up moop.
You're always picking up.
You never pass it up.
Yeah. You're like, this shouldn't be here. Pick it up.
Exactly. Matter out of place.
So now, it ends with the burning of the giant burning man, 70 feet tall or something like
that. Every year it's different.
Depends. Every year different. Yeah. What happens to the debris and the ashes and the remnants of that?
Well, a lot of the art at Burning Man and some of the philosophy is nothing is permanent. So they'll create these giant works of art, and some are wood. Now, some are steel, and some unique ones have beautiful steel sculptures encased in a wooden sculpture. So when the wooden sculpture burns, the other sculpture's there. But
and then they haul it out?
When you're qualified to be have a placed piece of art, because you apply, and a lot of times a Burning Man, a lot of their money goes to art grants. I think they gave $1.5 million to artists for their art pieces.
Okay.
And they'll place you throughout the playa for display, but they'll bring in decomposed granite, which is like a really coarse sand.
Yeah.
And they'll lay down 12 inches completely around where your art piece is going to be.
Right.
And so the playa itself is protected.
Oh, okay.
And then when it burns, the art crew, which you volunteer, and I volunteered in a lot of them.
Scoops up the sand.
You go in. No, you don't scoop up the sand.
Oh.
But you spend the better part of a day or day and a half picking up any large pieces of wood that didn't burn, metal, nails, structure joiners,
jeez,
you know. You know.
I thought Burning Man was to go get high, you know, free love, hook up with chicks. Totally missold on what it was supposed to be.
No, that's
Instagram.
That's going to any big city.
So that's a huge myth about Burning Man.
No, it's not a myth. Again, it's a city of 7,000.
Right.
And
people are going to do what they're going to do, but there's
something to amuse, amaze, and offend everyone of every persuasion.
Wow.
So there are tremendous parties. It's probably the most non-judgmental place you'll ever go. because people accept you for who you are. Yeah. And one of the things is radical self-expression. And of course, you always hear about the nudity, which we really don't consider it nudity. We consider it a wardrobe choice.
Yeah, right, exactly.
A very pleasant one, too.
Oh, my God. Did they call you the old man? Were you the oldest guy there at 80?
No, there's, I met two ladies that were 92. Wow. They were retired physicians, and they were a kick. But I'm in like the 0.02%
right
thing, but I like it for the art, photographic opportunities, but also for the incredible mix of people that you'll meet there and you interact with that you'll never see in the default world. And the other thing is, there's no such thing as a closed camp. Your camp is open and welcome to everyone to come in and visit.
Wow.
And you host them, you gift them, you do it. So it's pretty unique.
It's good
and
stuff.
Once it kind of went global with the internet and the experience, the demand skyrocketed.
Right.
And they have a finite number because there's only one road in, one road out, and there's a kind of a critical mass on what the it can, I think, combination of what a capacity is and what point does the experience depreciate.
Just like in skiing.
Exactly.
At some point, the user experience will undergo significant depreciation.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
But radical self-expression is one of them. So it's a place you can go. And, you know, if you've always wanted to go around for 3 or 4 days in a dress, you can do it out there and no one will bother you. And, you know, it can get pretty hot. And if you're comfortable without your clothes on, fine. But, you know, you're in the sun. So, I mean, if you're Irish, it's probably not a good choice.
which you are. So there you go.
Now I can get sunburned in a full moon.
All right. Crazy Uncle Tom, thanks. Good to be here in Tahoe. Long time. I got to get back again soon. Come back for the skiing in the winter. I'll tell you whether or not the user experience has been degraded. You got a pass for me? Come on.
Are you 80? No, I don't. I have a hard time digging them up.
Hard time getting passes. Yeah. I love it. Thanks, Unc. Appreciate it.
Good luck, world.
Good luck, world.
Some of this was actually true. When the day that lies ahead of me seems
impossible to face. Looking to buy your dream home or rent that perfect apartment? With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Set up your gotta-have-it wish list, and Redfin will send you real-time notifications for properties that match. And when you're ready to see it in person, scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Thinking about selling? Redfin can do that too. In fact, Redfin agents close twice as many deals as other agents, so they know how to get the best price for your home. And with a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin charges half of what others often charge. So you could save big, like really big. Last year, Redfin saved home sellers $118 million. So whether you're buying, renting, or selling, Redfin's ready to help you win. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Watching any sport is a hell of a lot more exciting when you got a little something-something riding on the game. But what happens when the season is over?
At my bookie, there is no off season. NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, boxing, heck, table tennis, MMA, and more. If they got it, you can bet it. If the games are being played, the line is on the board at my bookie. Just remember, where you bet, though, is every bit as important, if not more so than what you're betting on. That's why I tell all my friends to go to mybookie.ag. Oh, but my state just approved it. There's a big whatever, or these guys are in the market. Nah, Johnny come latelys. You want to trust them? Trust the bookie I've been working with for years, MyBookie. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does it matter? Oh, I don't know. Maybe a million reasons. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. You name it. Plus, you get a bonus with me at MyBookie.ag. Use promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. That's promo code ZABE. And get your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. You bet, you win, and most importantly, you get paid with mybookie.ag.